Listen up. There's no more excuses.
We're empowering those who want the hustle by exposing the status quo.
The days of ordinary are over.
It's time to crush mediocrity and start discovering your greatest potential.
Welcome to the Hustle Nation.
Welcome back to another episode of the Hustle Nation podcast. Today, as always, got a real treat. Mr. Nat Berman is in the house. If you don't know him, Nat, not only does he have the best t-shirt game in the LinkedIn business and the coaching business, but he is a speaker, coach, and owner of the Uncoached Corporation. Nat, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
And for those of you just listening, if you are in our age category, you will appreciate the blue Wally World t-shirt he is wearing. And I say t-shirts because, Nat, I've been following you for at least 2 years on LinkedIn. And every time I see you, I'm really more curious to see what t-shirt you're wearing and less about your content.
Yeah, and that's totally
content's,
fine.
Content's got, good, but...
You got to get him in the door, man. You know how many people write, they say every day, they're like, came here for the t-shirt, stayed for the content. I'm like, all right. That works. Got to get them in the door.
Both are valuable. And today, I want you to think about this for a moment. If you're listening, is Nat was wearing a t-shirt that had Nakatomi Plaza. So think for a moment and try to go back, harken back to a time in the 80s when you watched one of the greatest Christmas movies of all time, where that might have come from.
I'm not telling you. All right, go ahead.
Nat, tell us a little bit about your journey and where you got to where you are now.
Sure. So I think the one that I usually always stick with is, starting, with work experience. I spent 6 years as a recruiter in New York City, working for investment banks in, sales and trading and investment banking, and, didn't love it. 2007, buddy of mine sent me this link to a site called Blogspot, which I didn't know about, and that was Google's blogging platform. And I basically got hooked and just really loved writing, which I've always loved writing, but, trying to attract an audience, it was a whole new sort of game for me. And started picking it up, just asked a ton of questions to a lot of people out there. And 2007 was very much a year of like these male-centric websites that started to come out, which was like Barstool Sports and Ask Men. Their website was big at that point. Maxim, a whole bunch of, Busted Coverage was a big one at the time. So I started my own and I called it Uncoached. So at the time it was all humor and sports, entertainment, all that kind, and it was all written by me. And I learned how to monetize and, things really picked up when I started getting linked to by Sports Illustrated. And it was about 9 months into it, I decided to quit my job and go for it. Had, 6 months of savings. I made a strategic decision. I was making a little bit of money. So I said, all right, let's go. And never looked back. To this day, I still own the portfolio. It's about 24 sites right now. Sold my biggest one last summer. So thankfully now it's literally like 20 to 30 minutes of my day, the websites, which is great. If I wasn't doing coaching, I could, live off the websites. They still pay the bills. But really when things obviously took a change, and I'm happy to talk about all that as well, but when things took a real turn was 2020, COVID, everybody was sitting around at home, didn't know what to do. I started seeing a lot of engagement on LinkedIn. I was like, what's going on? Why are all these comments happening? And it's funny. I found out now that like 2017 was crazier. 2018 was even crazier. It was like the first year of TikTok where you could like pick your nose and get a million views on a video. But I still got in on a good wave. So 2020, I started filming videos of myself in my backyard. That's where all the t-shirts, started to happen. I was taping myself in the snow or wearing a t-shirt, just picking up a gimmick and, just trying to get myself out there. But honestly, I was really just talking about things I was very passionate about, which was being an entrepreneur, growing your own business. And those things started to resonate. So about 9 months later or so, that was a turning point where I don't know, I was at like 20 something thousand followers and people started reaching out about coaching. And I had never really considered it or talked about it. I had always liked doing speaking, did some stand up in my 20s. And so, but stand up wasn't always like I always like to motivate people. So I always knew that stand up wasn't necessarily the route. And then coaching was interesting because I was on my path to being a therapist because both my parents are therapists. And that was something I highly considered. I got into the grad school and everything, and I actually backed out at the last minute. This was while I was doing the websites, and I decided to continue with the websites. So things picked up. But it was interesting. I just kind of went in blindly. I took on a whole bunch of clients. The websites were still a decent part of my day. And I sort of burnt out. And it was – I took about a two-year hiatus, meaning I wasn't off the platform, LinkedIn, but I was not trying. I didn't care about my content. I didn't really care about engaging with other people. I just sort of – it was like a placemat. I was just like regurgitating old stuff and just wasn't trying. And then 2023 rolled around. This is after I sold my biggest property. I was like, what the hell am I going to do with myself right now? And I got back onto LinkedIn and it hit me like a bat out of hell because my stuff wasn't doing well anymore. And I was like, what's going on? And I saw this young group of people who were just killing it on the platform. And I had to really just kind of dig down and start all over, which is what I did. So it was really January of 2023 until now, which I've been sort of grinding and working really hard, but you know, closing in on 60K now, and things have grown quite a bit. And you know, the coaching is great. I spent an entire year doing one-to-one purposefully so I could gather data and figure out, you know, how I could, you know, further help people. And so just recently me and a partner started a community that, you know, helps people to leverage their brand, to grow their business, get clients, you know, build up trust. And that's primarily done through LinkedIn. So that is where I am at the present time.
So Nat, one of the things, you know, you talk about the t-shirts, but you know, that's not random. I think a lot of times when people are trying to build a business, you know, awareness is where everything starts. And I think a lot of times from a mental perspective, people get really hung up about being perfect about every piece of content they do or any kind of outward vision they have of themselves, because they're afraid it's going to somehow make them seem less serious or less capable or less professional or anything like that. You know, can you talk a little bit about just your approach there? Cause I mean, I think, you know, to your point, like it came for the t-shirt, stayed for the content. I mean, you're like the walking billboard of why that's just head trash for people.
So you what's like my approach? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. And I'll tell you what initially got me fired up on LinkedIn. It was this, it's funny. I was never a coach, but I got very fired up by how many people were coaches on LinkedIn. And then I read some stat that there were like 6 million. I was like, what the hell? And most people would look at that and say, oh, that's a saturated market. In my opinion, I was like, that's a chance to stand out because everybody's the same. You know, people always talk about saturated markets. I'm like, dude, that's a good thing. It means there's probably a ton of companies doing the same thing. There's room for somebody to do something different. So I started to, I never made fun, like I didn't make fun of people, but I was saying like, it's interesting how there's a 21-year-old life coach out there and they really haven't experienced life all that much, you know? And so I really went for the angle of like, hey, I've been doing something for 17 years and it's interesting. You caught me at a great time because I just changed my tagline on LinkedIn to the business coach who actually runs a business. That's my new tagline.
I love
people
that.
People have been very receptive to that. It's been 48 hours, but it's been great. And so my approach was always, and it's the same today, just let her rip. That's my approach. I don't, my videos are one take, 99.9% of them one take, unless I really mess up, I'll go back and, you know, start over. But the videos, that's how I got started on the platform, all one take. And I just say what I need to say, man. Like, and I don't care. And I also share, I think a lot of people don't do that, plenty of the losses, plenty of the pain, plenty of the struggle that you go through, because that's the real shit. That's just, you know, I could post every day about achievements and all that, but then I'm just a boastful piece of shit. And like, I don't want to do that. I'm proud of everything I've done, but I'm also really proud of all the stuff that I've endured and fucked up in, for lack of a better phrase. And I've failed plenty of times, but, you know, well, people talk about failure too, and I don't want to go off on a tangent, but I don't really, I think the only real failure is like when you quit when you're not supposed to.
Yeah,
I've had plenty of setbacks. I like that word better. It's just not as sexy as failure. But when you've had your business almost taken away, you know, three times, and you don't know what the hell you're going to do, is that a failure? No, it's a major, major setback. But if anything, it's a considerable learning experience. And those things happen, you know, every day up until today. So, to your point, my approach has always been to literally just say whatever the hell's on my mind, and whatever somebody says, they say back. Like, I can't control that. And I think it's gone pretty well. And it's very, very, like, even the word authenticity just pisses me off today, because it's like a bad word now. And so I don't even use it anymore. I don't even say like, be your authentic self. It's like, can you harness, you know how they say, you know, dance like nobody's watching. Well, can you do that on purpose, but not on purpose, right? Like that's the heart. Like, can you be naked in front of the mirror, but in front of everybody? You know what I mean? For lack of a better word, metaphorically, right? Like, can you actually do that? The stuff that you would do when no one's watching, can you harness that reality and either put it in text, put it in video? Like, if there's an approach, that's where I always start from. It's that place, just like unabashedly, this is who I am. And I tell, you know, the greatest compliment you can get is, without fail, every time I get on a call with someone, they always say, you're exactly what I thought you were. I'm like, great. Then I'm doing my job. You know, then good. There's nothing to change. There's no questions here. You got what you're paying for. You know what I mean? So anyway, hope that helps.
I love that. And many times spoken like a true marketer, even though I don't know if you have a marketing background, but being yourself, all those things is what makes a lot of marketing content work. But I want to switch gears. You talked about failure, for lack of a better word, setbacks. I love the word setback. I'm going to have to think about how to install that in my vocabulary moving forward. But as we zoom out, we've had a lot of guests on this show. And just on our last episode, I had mentioned to Dustin, I'm like, you know, the word that comes up a lot is gratitude. Well, lately as well, the other thing that comes back is so many entrepreneurs we've talked to and leaders look back at the setbacks, and they say, in indirect words, that is what has propelled me to where I am now, whether it's learning, whether it's the motivation. Do you mind diving into it? Because what was the big thing that caused you to get burned out that ultimately led to you changing paths?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I think I just took on too much at the time. I was probably somewhere around 12, 13 clients, and the websites were still a big part of everything. And, you know, when I was looking at it just from a practical, logistical standpoint, I was like, well, I don't really need the money right now. And what are you doing to yourself, Nat? You're killing yourself here. And frankly, one-to-one work is, for me at least, is very taxing. It's like therapy, right? And you're putting everything you've got into it. And, you know, even by the end of this call with the three of us, I'm going to be dripping in sweat. Like, that's just how I am when I get involved in an hour long conversation. I get very involved and passionate about what I'm talking about. The same happens during coaching. So it takes a lot out of you. And when you're seeing a fair amount of people like that, and it's interesting because of the whole therapy background, it's almost the opposite. Like, my father,
oh, I was just going to say that
he had 50 patients at his peak at once. 50. And to him, 30 is like nothing. I'm like, how the hell do you do that? Because when I started coaching, I was like, I don't get it. I don't understand what you're doing. He's like, I disassociate myself. I'm like, well, I don't. I can't do that. Right? Like I just cannot do that. But you also, you can't be a therapist if you don't, right? You cannot you cannot manage, for lack of a better word, 50 lives without being able to leave that call and leave that call at that call, right? So for me, that was one of the reasons why I sort of burned out. I was like, I can't do this. And now I'm like full steam loving it because the websites aren't a big deal and the community is growing. So my goal is to have no more than 5 people at once. Usually right now I'm still between 10 and 15, but I want to scale it back to less clients. So I hope that answers just in terms of why I kind of burnt out and why I made the decision to take that break.
Yeah. One more thing. And I had written this down because growing up, I was a big fan of SNL, and I'm guessing we're all kind of in the same age category. And I remember, you know, like Chris Farley era to me, and it's not that I had a bad childhood, but to me, that was like therapy. Laughter is therapy. And I'm just curious if you use that in any of your coaching.
Laughter?
Yeah.
Humor. Oh, hell yeah. Are you kidding me? Like, of course. I use it all the time in my content and I use it all the time in my coaching. I love just being a jackass and poking fun at myself, my clients. Like we're all dorks. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. And I literally have a piece of content coming out that says like, I just got 300 likes in my first hour. It's like, what a dork. You know what I mean? But I'm part of that crowd, you know, it's just very, very funny. So it's like, if you can't be self-deprecating, man, like it's not, laughter is a huge part of the game. And speaking, being on a conference call, like I am the antithesis of like Zoom calls, you know what I mean? It's like, get the hell, shut up, you know, we're all humans. We all take poops. Like, who cares? Yeah. And that to me is like, such a missing ingredient. Like the whole corporate lingo, that whole thing is like, wow. Like I it's very hard for me to tolerate. And so I don't tolerate it. You know, I don't concern myself with it, but it's without humor, man. I don't know where it would be. It'd be tough. And by the way, those years I think were the best years ever. Carvey.
Yeah.
Right. Carvey, Spade, Sandler, Farley. For sure. I mean, are you kidding me? Like that's, Phil Hartman, like talk about all stars, like good God.
Yeah.
What an amazing.
Harley's from Wisconsin, where we're located. Okay. He's
a legend. And a Marquette grad, just in case, or at least
like
went to
you.
Marquette, I should say. There you go. So,
do you ever see Hoop Dreams? That dude went to Marquette. Hoop Dreams?
I don't know. I don't know if I did.
So, Hoop Dreams is a documentary on these two guys who were like supposed to be professional basketball players.
Okay.
And one of them's name, oddly enough, wasn't Bill, but it was William Gates. And okay. There were two guys, and the William Gates was the better of the two. They were calling him the next Isaiah Thomas, and he kept having knee problems, but he wound up getting I think it was a full ride to Marquette. So
there you go.
Dwayne Wade, right? D Wade.
Oh yeah. D Wade.
There you go.
Yep. Yeah. You bet. So now one of the things you said, which I thought was really the idea of laughter and bringing it into business and corporate meetings and things like that. You know, I think there's a bank board that I'm part of that has gone through exponential growth, and they're now one of the larger banks in the country. And I remember first being in that boardroom and how it was laughter. It was engaging. It was like, and I was actually on a previous bank board where it was not that. It was exactly what you'd expect a bank board meeting to look like, you know,
corporate.
And yet the one that, to your point, had laughter, had engagement. It was just real people having real conversations. They're the ones that had exponential success, because I think you're right. There's this weird, I think whether it's content, I think whether it's business dealings or just being a person, I think sometimes people feel like they need to be that stuffed shirt. And the reality is very few people want to deal with the stuffed shirt. I mean, the most successful people in the world, yeah, look, they can turn it on and they can solve a problem and be focused on that. But they all have the release valve of like, look, we're just people. We're just building relationships. We're just solving problems together.
Yeah. I just don't get it, you know. And it's funny because I was a first hand witness to all of this because my primary dealings were on Wall Street. That, I mean, talk about prevalent, you know, that culture. It was like the watches and the shirts and the suits and, you know, and what was funny was it's like we were the recruiters and like I remember other recruiters trying to act the same. And I'm like, yeah, but you're not making millions and you're not these people. And I was just, it was like, it just, it was weird, like going to fancy hotels to meet potential candidates and all that. And like, I just, it's funny. Like people always ask, like, when did you realize like corporate wasn't for you? And I can remember it clear as day. No joke. First job I ever had out of college. So recruiting came about a year after. I had a few jobs before that. My first job ever was in the World Trade Center. And I actually quit my job 6 weeks prior to 9/11. That's a whole nother story. But so I worked for a company called Network Plus. And I sold T1 systems, which ages me. But that was the original high-speed internet, right? For everybody listening. And my whole day was cold calling. It was awful. I mean, I commuted from Port Washington, New York to the World Trade Center. It was pretty brutal, about an hour and 45 minutes each way. And the very first day, here I am, 22 years old, wearing a suit, thinking I'm the shit because I'm wearing a suit and I'm going to the city. And I felt amazing that I woke up in the middle of the dark. I drove to the train station. I
just felt like the Walt Disney movie, right?
I felt like one of the gang. Right. And I'm on the platform and I'll never forget this. As soon as I got in the train, I saw this dude who was like, I don't know, 60, 65 years old. He had a suit on. He was standing up and just looked miserable. And I can literally remember it now. And I'll never forget that first entire commute that I had to make because it was two subway rides after I got to the city on the Long Island Railroad. And I'll remember that, you know, I was on the 83rd floor of, I don't remember which tower I was in, but I was, that floor made it in 9/11. I know that. There was one of the buildings, it was like the 102nd is where it was really bad. And then the other one was like on the 80 something. Anyway, so, and I remember getting on the elevator, going up 80 floors. And I was like, the allure of feeling cool in the suit, like left me by the time I got to the office. And then having to make cold calls all day, I mean, within a few weeks, I was like, this ain't for me. And luckily, it's interesting. I write this in my bio. The first words you read are, I never wanted a boss. Like, that's the first thing you see in my LinkedIn about section. And what's really interesting is my jobs got better and better and better and better, like every year. Like, by the time I quit, my commute was a 10-minute walk. And I worked for two of the nicest guys who gave me complete autonomy. And yet that entire time, I still was like, I don't want a boss. I don't want to do this. I don't want any kind of authority. And so I always knew it's just, and then when I quit my job, it took off like a rocket. I worked harder than I ever worked in my whole life because it was for me. But I don't know if I went on a tangent there, but anyway, yeah.
What's up, listeners? It's your co-host, Chris, here. And I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of the Hustle Nation. We really appreciate all of you for listening, downloading, and reviewing the show. We know our listeners are all about achieving their dreams and big success. But if you've ever felt like you're just inches away from your dreams, like just something's missing, well, we've launched a new product called the Hustle Planner. It's not just a planner. It's your personal roadmap to success. The Hustle Planner was designed to help you break free from unfulfilled dreams. It's not just about listing tasks. It's like sculpting your future on paper, setting bold goals, tracking progress, and yeah, even finding a bit of daily joy. The Hustle Planner was designed to eliminate the burden of stress and anxiety, to give you a direction to better understand yourself, what's working and what's not. It was really designed for people like you and me to help stack victories on a daily basis. And if you win each day, you win the week. And when you win the weeks, you win the month. And if you can stack that kind of success month over month, quarter over quarter, you will then win the year. And we know when you do that, you will start building the momentum and success and confidence you know you're capable of. So if you're looking for a small edge and you want to start building momentum now, head over to Amazon or click the link in the show notes below. And for a small investment and a small commitment, you can make a huge impact in your personal and professional life.
So what, you know, you talk about kind of the evolution that you've gone through. What's next?
Oh man. As much as I can handle, you know, I think right now, you know, it's funny. I was on a different podcast and we were talking about clarity, and clarity is a big word, and, you know, achieving that. And as a coach, that's something you really try and help clients with. My take on clarity is slightly different, is that clarity hits you at different times and in different ways. And you don't always have to be clear and have this like life vision that you hold on to for 60 years. Right. So for me, what was very clear a year ago was I'm going to be very focused on one-to-one coaching only. I made a decision and I said, I'm not going to look outward. This is it. I'm just doing one-to-one. When that is, I will feel it when I've done enough of it where I know I can possibly package that in a different way where I don't have to be as active one-to-one. So now my clarity is growing the community to 1,000 members as quickly as possible. Getting more involved in speaking engagements. And I've got two of those lined up. So I'm very excited for that. Dialing down on the one-to-one and just continuing to build my network. And then I always tell this to people. I'm like, and guess what happens when I achieve that? And I know I will someday. I'm not going to want to do that anymore. I'm going to want to do something else. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I've like, that's one progression I know I've gotten since my 20s all the way up into my 40s is that like, I've come to accept that, like, there is no way I'm going to sit and like things all the time, the whole way. It ain't going to happen. Like, I can't sit on a beach and sip on a Mai Tai. Like, I can do that for a week because I know it's necessary.
Yeah.
But people say, if you had unlimited money, what would you do? I'd be doing right what I'm doing right now, talking to you guys, right? Like, and that is not in any way bullshit. Like, maybe I would do it in a nicer house. Right. Maybe I'd upgrade my restaurants that I go to, and maybe I'd stay in, you know, first class, you know, beautiful suite kind of thing. But I have money to last me the rest of my life. And quite frankly, like, I would still be doing the same thing. I would get antsy in 5 seconds. And so the answer to what's next is I have a sense of the next year of what I'd like to do 2024. And I certainly want to be happy in my life and see my kids do well and my wife and all that. But I can't honestly say I know. I just know that I want to keep pushing because that has led to so many amazing relationships and opportunities that I never would have gotten if I just sat on my ass.
Nat, you said something that's really interesting to me. You said, I've got a pretty good idea for what I want to do in the next year. When I talk to people, and I come from a marketing background, so often I tell them, I'm like, forget about the 5-year plan. Forget about the 3-year plan. You might not even be working here in 2 years. Let's focus on what you want to achieve this calendar year. And so many people don't have the vision. So what do you want right now? And try to get them to instill that this month, this week, this quarter. Do you think that's a fair perspective of getting people more honed in on what are you looking for right now?
Well, not to get philosophical, but all there is now, right? When you think about it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, and look, I'm not one of the, I'm not Eckhart Tolle, and I'm not fucking living in the now like this second and aware of my breath. And, you know, like I, you know, and I'm not trying to make fun of that. It's just, here's what I'll usually tell people or how I see things in terms of the long-term view. I'm always a realist in terms of any kind of venture that's real, that it takes time, right? Like I'll tell every person I work, I'm like, someone will be starting on LinkedIn with 0 followers. I'm like, dude, it's going to take you like 3 years. Like I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's going to take you 3 years, right? So the way I look at the long term is like, I almost look at it like a horizon where it's kind of like, I kind of know what's out there, but it's a little bit more macro. It's like, you want to have options, freedom, time, right? To be able to do all the things you want and have the life that you want. A lot of people tend to preach like, no, but it has to be more clear than that. You need to know like, you know, what's the house? What's the beach you want to be on? What's the this? And that's okay too. But it's too far out, in my opinion. The key is connecting, is knowing that what you are doing now has to do with that long-term vision. But then it's just, you got to leave it on the side. You know what I mean? Like it's, and that, cause that may change too. Just leave it off there in the breeze. It's cool. So like, and it's actually a very helpful way for people to be focused on the present. And not only that, like find meaning and more importance in the present. I'll give you a great example of something people hate to do. Cold calling, right? People hate cold calling. That is how I came up in my whole life career, is cold calling. Here's a great story. So when I started cold calling, I was at a recruiting company in Long Island, and this is when I first started. It was pharmaceutical recruiting before I got into finance. That was about 6 months I did that. It was awful. I mean, I hated it. It was like, and our boss was terrible. He literally like timed us. Like the phones were connected to like a machine that told you how long you were on the phone. It was that micromanaged. And I hated it so much that sometimes I would leave the phone off the hook and just let the dial tone go, so he would think I was on the phone. Like that's how much I couldn't stand it. But I was a young guy, anxious, whatever. But what I always remember, it was this guy, he sat next to me. His name was Dan. You could look him up, Dan Gold. And he just got on the phone and just banged away every day, like all day, every day. And we had our little water cooler talks and made fun of Dan because he was always on the fucking phone and like da 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 da. But I was there a good 6 months. And by the time that 6 months was up, man, Dan, he was getting inbound calls and he was yucking it up with people. And I'm still sitting there like, hello, sir. You know, like, are you interested? You know, like, and he's like having great conversations. And this also happened at Network Plus, by the way. Used to see dudes like with their feet up and like they had their own offices. I was in a bullpen. I was like, how'd you get to that point? It's like they broke through this wall. And the thing I never learned early on, and maybe Dan did, maybe he didn't, maybe he was just a machine. But oh, by the way, Dan is the president of the company right now, and he's still there 20 years later, which is insane. Wow. Yeah. Fairway Consulting Group. Look it up. Anyway, so but here's something that I came to accept, and it's come full circle, because I look at commenting as cold calling. Like I've written about that. Oh. And I fully believe that the new cold calling is using your fingers and writing on a keyboard, right? That's the new cold calling. And so I almost had like this epiphany. It's like I have another chance to fix what I really messed up. And now I recognize that every comment, metaphorically, every cold call, right, puts you that much closer to what you're talking about, to what you want. And for those people out there in sales, if you look at cold calling as every call gets me closer to my dreams, to freedom, to money, then those calls have a little bit different meaning, other than this call sucks and I'm getting shit on every day. And that's what I did. And that's on me, and that's on every person making that call. Like, don't get me wrong, cold calling does suck. But if you somehow went in there and put the ownership on you and recognized that every one of those calls was like a stepping stone to a better life, you wouldn't feel so shitty about making cold calls. And then when something came along that you really did like, you know, wow, all hands on deck, right? Like, and that's what happened when I quit my job. It's like a switch went off, and I became like obsessed, you know, with working and trying to make it. And so that whole, that same energy, I've brought it to LinkedIn. It's the same thing. And it's like an obsession. It's like a game. And I don't want to stop playing. And so, but it's all connected, right? It's like, it's to the, you know, it's to the daily, to the monthly, to the yearly, to the long-term goal. It's all connected. And when you can develop that mentality, it's very empowering. You know, it feels very good to know like, hey, they don't control this. I do. Right. Yeah.
Well, I think even just something you said there at the end, the develop the mentality of connecting all those pieces. I think a lot of times people will hear like what you just said, and you know, I look it through my career. I mean, I have daily goals and daily targets, and they're tying up to something greater. And to your point, the further out you are, the more generic the goal for sure. But I think a lot of times people, when they hear that for the first time, they think they got to do it all at once. And that concept of, you just have to develop the mentality. It's not like, I'm sure you're the same way. It's not like all of a sudden one day you woke up like, this is how I'm going to connect all those things. Right. You know, you've gone through the grind. I think a lot of times I'll use cold calling as an example. So my day job is I run an insurance broker. And so, you know, we have teams of salespeople, right, that are constantly on the phone and sending emails and at events and things like that. And anytime we hire somebody new, it's always interesting because they always look at the person that's been doing it for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. And it's the same thing. They're like, man, this job seems easy. Like they make 10 calls and they get 10 meetings. Like how is that even possible? It's like, well, yeah, because you missed the first 7 years of grind that they did, right? Where they were making hundreds of attempts a week and getting through it, right? And finding their craft. And it's not just the quantity of who they're talking to, it's them refining their own craft.
Oh yeah.
Right. And you get so much practice through that. And then all of a sudden, 2 years later, be like, man, you're so good at cold calling. Be like, listen to the first 10.
That's my Dan Gold story. Like he was as polished and as smooth as you can imagine. Like I learned this the other day. Someone was telling me like a good speaker, professional speaker, they're doing the same speech for 20 years. They're just way better at it 20 years later. You know, it's the same thing. It's crazy. And one thing that you mentioned that really resonated with me was you said one thing, right? Like that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs have a big problem with. And even I did, is sticking with one thing. I had to make a very conscious decision to go, I'm only focusing on one-to-one clients this year. That was really hard because everyone was jawing in my ear about like, why don't you have a YouTube channel? Why don't you have a podcast? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't you do this? And like, don't tell me of course I wanted to do all those things. I did. I absolutely did. But this is a more, I guess it's a broader topic of depth versus breadth, right? And it's like, for me, I chose, I'm going to go as deep as I can with this one-to-one. And now all of a sudden, these other opportunities are kind of sprouting up here and there. And so it's like, that's another thing for people who are listening to really pay attention to. It's like, your example is just be good at cold calling for 2 years. Don't worry about anything else.
Yeah.
Be good at like I call it breaking through. That's what I call it. It's getting to the other side of that wall. The wall of, how come no one's calling me? You know what I mean? How come it's so damn hard? And I teach people online about doing outbound on LinkedIn as a great example. My outbound on LinkedIn is very easy. And the reason it's easy is because I have a big following. Most people who I'm contacting know who I am. And so to your point, it's like, how come that guy has it so easy? Well, I've been banging away for 3 years at content to the point where now it's like I've earned my right to send them that message. Mm-hmm. And that's something you cannot like fake or shortcut your way into. It won't work. It's impossible. And so, but a nice thing is you can do them almost sort of simultaneously. Like you can grow your LinkedIn account. You can do outbound at the same time. But I can tell you right now, it's definitely easier the bigger you are. Like, there's no question.
Yeah.
But like you just said, like if I'm a manager in your office, I'm looking at that new guy and I'm like, dude, I don't give a crap what you do. Just master cold calling for 2 years and the world will open up to you. I promise.
Yeah.
And most people don't have the stones to do it. I didn't.
For sure.
We
just hired a new business development guy. It's literally started this week and younger guy and. His first month, I mean, you know, he's going through a lot of the grind stuff. And I just told him, like, just so you're on the same page, I know you took this job because you think it's going to be fun and elaborate and all that sort of stuff. It's going to suck to start. Like this first month in particular is going to be the worst month probably of your life. And I'm just, but it'll get better.
I got to tell you, buddy.
it'll get better, right? Like there's no sugarcoating it, but you will get better. It will get better.
And it's also okay to shit on it and say, that's not for me. And I don't want to do this, right? Like that's okay. I mean, that was a place that I was at years ago, and that's all right. But at the same time, like you need to know going in that this won't happen until you do this, right? And this that's going to get you to that is going to suck. Right. Yep. And it's, there's no sugar coat. You can't, but again, that whole connecting all the dots, you can even tell that guy, look, dude, I promise you the juice is worth the squeeze, dude. It's going to suck. It's a year of garbage. You're on calls all the time. You're going to get rejected. It stinks, but man, you'll be set for life if you spend these next 2 years grinding and building relationships. Yep. You know, that's how I look at the LinkedIn community. It's like, holy crap. Like, look what just happened here. I've got this. I feel like I could ask anybody anything right now if I needed something. You know what I mean? Like, put me in touch with the person who does this. Put me in touch with that. Like, I couldn't do that a year ago or 2 years ago. And I still think I have a very, very long way to go. You know, there's always something to learn. There's always somebody who's ahead of you.
Yeah.
And that's a place I'm always seeking out, right? Is that next level of knowledge.
So Nat, with all the coaching you've done, whether it be one-to-one or the group stuff you're doing now, what are, or what is some of the common denominators you're finding? We've talked about some already, like focusing on one thing, even a little bit, I think indirectly, we're talking about building a personal brand and why that's important. But what else are you finding that these entrepreneurs are just continually getting stuck with?
Probably being themselves is a big one. Two things are real big. Just learning how to run a simple business is really hard for some people because they're used to coming from the corporate world where your job function is one job function. Whereas if you're an entrepreneur, you're managing all job functions. It may sound trivial or small, but like, hey, you do have to form an LLC at some point. You do have to, you know, and by the way, I'm not saying those things are difficult. They're not. It's just they're things that people oversee. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, I forgot about, I didn't realize that, you know, or like Stripe, like they didn't know they had to set up Stripe, you know, like a payment thing. And again, does it take long to set up Stripe? No. But it's the mental shift of going from a W-2 to your own thing. That's an interesting transition. Being themselves is also very hard. And being themselves online is particularly difficult. And that, to me, is one of the biggest moneymakers, is truly going out there and being different in the sea of sameness, right? And so... you know, and you talked about personal branding. Like, look, I think I'm in a good wave here. I think the next 10 years you're going to see, it's very bizarre what's happening out there. It's not bizarre. It's realistic and it was inevitable, but it's weird to see people in these high caged secretive places now saying, I need a personal brand. It's weird. Like, a lot of my clients are financial advisors. Like, that's not a place where you're out there. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it's like, we don't care that you get 9% returns. Everybody's getting 9% returns. What makes you different? Well, you make you different. And it's like, I don't care. Like, if you're doing a lineup and two people have the exact same qualifications, the same statistics, the same whatever, who are you going to hire? You're going to hire the one that you relate to more. Simple. And so that's, while maybe somebody won't come to me for that, that's what ends up being the issue. Always. It's a perception of themselves. And can I make it by being myself and leaning into that really, really hard? And the answer is everybody can, but you can't fake it. If you're the introverted guy, be the introverted guy. You know what I mean? If you're the hyper guy, be the hyper guy. Don't try to fit into something else. Like, don't get me wrong. Use inspiration and study other people and study other creators and content and formatting and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, that it has to be whatever your own thing is right now. Like, I'm pretty sure that most people wouldn't call anyone else on LinkedIn like that dude who wears t-shirts by his pool other than me, right? Like, that's not a flex. It's just, I'm pretty sure they wouldn't. And if they did, good for that other guy for getting, or girl, to for getting to that point, right? Like, good for you. But that's my goal for everybody. It's like, who are you? You're that guy. Like, my one of my favorite clients ever, he'll love that I gave him a shout out, Mondo Salavanti. He's a financial planner. He's on LinkedIn. He's huge. He's blowing up. But I always just, I say the phrase Mondo's hair all the time, because he has this incredibly stylish hair that's a little, you know, a little poofy. And it's just very, it's so fun to like rip on him, even though it's not, it's a compliment. And he always has a picture where he's got a red seatbelt on because he drives a Mercedes. So to me, Mondo is the hair, red seatbelt, a sneaker collector guy, because he's got a crazy sneaker collection. That's why people work with Mondo. They know he knows about finance. They know he's a good financial advisor. He does right by his clients, but so does everybody. Yeah. So does everybody. But then all of a sudden, like I said, you put Mondo in a lineup, everybody's going to know who he is and what he's about. And that's currency, man. That is currency. Yeah.
I call it social currency. But I'm so glad you brought that up, because coming from a marketing background, I put together a presentation about a year ago, and to date, it's been the most sought after thing that I do when I speak. And it's called "Your Business Starts with Your Personal Brand." And after following you now, Nat, for a couple of years, I feel like a lot of your success recently is because you have an amazing personal brand. And as I tell a lot of people in my presentation, you have essentially two choices: you can be visible, or you can be invisible. And have a profile, fine. But unless you're posting to that profile and you're, like you said, you're proactively DMing, you're proactively messaging and liking, you're otherwise invisible. I mean, just having a profile doesn't mean shit today. So I think that's really a great way to kind of wrap this conversation up, is personal brand. And you've touched on it indirectly so many ways. It's just so critical to growing your business, because if you look at Shark Tank founders like Damon John and Mark Cuban, or even Gary Vee, Alex Hormozi, a lot of people know them before they know their business, because they have an amazing personal brand.
Big time. And get, you know, it's funny. I look at Hormozi as like the next generation Gary Vee. That's kind of how.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know, I've met Gary Vee. We've spent a good hour, just me and him in his office. And that was a very interesting conversation. And like, I remember leaving that office being like, I can never work with this guy. He's just too high energy. Like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. But I left having immense respect for him, because boy, was he exactly as advertised. Like, the biggest compliment you can get is, you're exactly what I thought you would be. Right.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing, and obviously Gary Vee is humongous. But I truly believe that Hormozi is like the new, he's basically that next generation. And obviously he has clearly the physical features to be a very imposing and just awe, you know, visually you're like, holy shit, this guy's huge. But again, that's all part of it. Like, I'm not huge. I don't have Alex Hormozi's arms, but I got cool shirts. So that's a good start, right? It's a good start. You know, I'm in shape, but I'm not a bodybuilder, right? Like, so it's like, you got to have something. And I don't like to use word shtick, because that's so like generic, but
90s.
I love to say to people, who are you known as? Who are you known as? Are you're the guy who, you're the girl who, right? If somebody can't fill that in, you have work to do. You have work to do. You know, I'm, you know, I'm hoping that my trajectory shifts into, I'm the business coach who actually runs a business. You know, that's where I want things to shift. And for that to be a moniker, right? And to continue, you know, evolving and moving forward. And it's like, you know, when you think of Alex Hormozi, what do you think? The huge guy who's great at marketing, like, you know, the gym guy, whatever, the dude who does the gym marketing, like, or, you know, that's what you think of. When you think of Gary Vee, what do you think of? You think of his high voice. That's what you think of when you think of Gary Vee. But it's, damn, it's pierced right into your brain. It's right yeah. into your brain. And like, if you've got that, you're going to be very, very successful. Very successful. And it doesn't have to be to a big audience, P.S., right? It doesn't. It has to be to a select audience. And this is for all the people who are thinking, oh, I got to grow my following. No, you don't. You just have to be around the right people. This is why there are people with very few followers who are killing it. And there are people with very many followers who don't. They don't know how to wield it properly. But if you have it, that thing, you can monetize it.
I think that's an amazing way to cap the show. So insightful. I mean, just amazing, amazing conversation. So thank you for being here. But before we let you go, can you tell our audience a little bit more about what you have going on, where they can find you, your coaching program?
Sure. So yeah, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn all over the place. Nat Berman, just look up the name Nat Berman, I guess search it. But I do have a website, natberman.com. So that's a way to literally reach out to me. But yeah, in terms of the community, that's actually hosted on School, and it's called Brand Built, B-U-I-L-T, kind of like Ford Tough, Brand Built. and that's only about 2 weeks old. So we're closing in on 40 members, and that's exciting. And who's behind School? Alex Hormozi. He invested a chunk of money in it. So that's kind of interesting. But it's a great. Yeah. We love it. It's very, very easy to use. And so yeah, I mean, and one thing I will tell you, like, I always get back to people pretty damn fast in the DMs on LinkedIn, anywhere. So I'm always open to people reaching out. So yeah, appreciate being on the show, man. It's been great, guys.
Yeah, thank you.
Our pleasure. You know, and that's true. There are some people who have 10,000 followers who think they're too good to be on a podcast like this. And then you have people who have 100,000 or 58,000 followers like you, who do respond and respond very quickly. And we appreciate that, because you are exactly who you say you are. Love that. Folks, if you're listening, check out Nat. I almost called you Nate, Nat. It is LinkedIn / in / Nathaniel Berman. Pretty easy to find. His content is awesome. Lots of great information, great nuggets, just like the show. And for all you listeners out there, thank you for tuning in to another episode. We appreciate yours. Until next time, peace.
Thank you for being part of the Hustle Nation. If you're serious about raising the bar in your personal and professional life and willing to go all in on your success, head over to HustleLeaders.com. Here you can get access to our Hustle Productivity ebook, attend our Hustle Masterclass, or challenge yourself to the 30-Day Hustle Challenge. Pairing these tools and training with the Hustle Nation podcast will help you advance to a whole new level. Until next time, stay hungry and inspire those around you to hustle.